going. All right. Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Amen and amen. All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Got people joining us now. Good morning to the James family this morning. Good morning to my dad somewhere out there. Amen, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. This is kind of a part two to what we talked about last week. We concluded last week with the charge or the challenge to become light to our generation, beginning in our homes, into our family, our community. One thing I want to share about that is that as you become light, let me say it this way, as we become light consistently, some people think, well, I was light for a day and that didn't change them. Light for a day doesn't change much at all. It has to be light that becomes ongoing. It must be light that must be consistently shining. Consistently shining. Yes. It's only when we consistently shine that people who have been in darkness are able to see then their way out of darkness. Let me illustrate it this way. If I were to put you in that back room there, and I were just to flicker this light on every 20 seconds or so, and you're supposed to come out of the back room in the darkness, And you all you see is a flicker of light every now and then. Would you have a difficult time getting your way from the back room there into this room here? Yes, we all would. But if this light was constant, shining nonstop, it may take some work, but eventually we'll get to a place where we see the light clearly. That's what I'm talking about. We as believers becoming consistent light, not shining once every 2 weeks. But we are consistent light day in and day out. It's when we become consistent light that people who are in darkness are able then to find their way out of darkness. We're not flickering, we are constant. And it's important we understand that in that process, because when Jesus said that we're to walk in the light, he says, as we walk with him, he says, we are in the light. So the other aspect of that for us as believers is if we're not abiding with him, that means we are walking in some form of darkness, some measure of darkness. If we're not abiding in light, that means we're what? We're where? We're in darkness somewhere. We are in some measure of darkness if we're not abiding in the light. So there's a correlation in that, in how light is to be transferred and transmitted from the light through us, the light receivers, to when we, by the grace of God, we become light givers as well. So it's not a once a week thing. Well, I went to church last Sunday. No, we got to go to Jesus every day. We got to partake of the light on a daily basis. Once a week's not enough. Matter of fact, the way things are getting nowadays, it's like you got to spend time in the light sometimes 2-3 times a day in terms of what we see, what's happening nowadays, to keep our mind in a place where it's not overwhelmed by darkness. And so in that aspect, that's why the Holy Spirit is our helper. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come abide in us to be our helper, to lead us into truth, meaning lead us into light. Truth and light are together. Jesus is truth, Jesus is light. You can't separate Jesus in that sense. I only want the light. Leave the truth out. No, you can't do it that way. You can't have truth without light. You can't have light without truth. He is only one. There's only one Jesus. And he is all of it together. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All righty. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And see, we once again see light and truth together here. You can't separate it. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, any type of lifestyle that is void of Jesus' presence. We're going to get to that a little bit later, a little bit further. But rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whoever or whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, walk in wisdom then, walk circumspectly, discerning, another way of saying is discerning, not as fools, but as wise. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing by the light, singing from the light, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God. The Father is the same. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But we submit first unto Jesus, and from Jesus one to another. So, amen. Pardon me for a second. So I closed last week about the challenge about being light, be light. So I want to take it a step further today in regards to what that means for us as believers. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the presence of God. You can't do it. You can try all you want. It may work for a while, but eventually God will convict you. And if you don't repent and get right, stay in the light, and then he'll allow you to reap the fruit of your rebellion. He will allow you to reap the fruit of your rebellion. Not because he's a mean God, but because he's a just God. Jesus, the Son of God, paid a price so that we would be imprinted with his righteousness. That means God's not going to allow any work of unrighteousness to bring a blemish on what the Son has done. It's just not gonna, he's not going to let it happen. There's been times in my life when I've tried to do both. Go to church, be a good Christian guy on Sundays, and then live like the world the rest of the week. It's humorous now. It wasn't humorous at the time. Matter of fact, at the time I thought I was really doing great because I had kind of deceived myself into this place of lifestyle where God accepted me where I was at and it was okay to do the things I was doing. It's called self-deception. And there's people that would speak into my life and tell me, Ollie, you got to do this. Ollie, you can't do that. Ollie, you need to change. And I was kind of like, who are you to tell me who do you think you are? And there's a lot of that out in the world today. They have their way. They're going to do it one foot in the world, one foot in the church. But they're going to have it their way. They bought the McDonald's lie and have it your way. It doesn't work spiritually, is what I'm saying. It doesn't work spiritually with God. It's his way or the highway, to use the phrase of the world in that sense. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the path to salvation, and wide is the path to destruction. Because narrow involves the ways of God. Narrow involves the works and the life of righteousness. The wide path includes the ways of the world, the philosophy of man. And you can't get there. You can't get to heaven with the philosophy of man. You can't. So we're going to walk through this passage we just read and look at a couple of things. I want to first begin by saying, do you believe Jesus? You believe Jesus?
Yes.
All right. So if you believe Jesus, that means we must also believe God, right? Yes. All right. All right, so if we believe God, that means we have a problem. That means we got to believe God. If we don't believe God, then, as it says in one passage, we're calling him a liar by our actions, by our failure to act or respond to his command, to his charge, to his instruction. We may not say it verbally, but by our lifestyle, by our actions, by our habits, we are saying, no, I don't need to do it that way. But this is what God said at the Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus met with his disciples watching. And so Jesus meets with Moses and meets with Elijah. And they begin to discuss what's to come in the last days. And the disciples get all, wow, you know, man. And so now Peter gets in the way again. And he blurts out, we got to build a monument. We got to set up. And suddenly things change dramatically. That moment of transfiguration comes to a stop. And then God speaks and says to Peter and the disciples, God speaking now. These are the words of Father God. God says about Jesus, this is Matthew 17 and Mark 7, Mark 9, verse 7. He says, this is my beloved son. And then he says this, hear him. Hear him. In other words, give heed, give honor, give obedience to what Jesus says. Hear him. In our life of marriage with my wife and I, there's times when she says things to me and I'm looking at her and I'm staring at her and my ears are pointed to her direction and to be honest, I didn't hear a word she said. I didn't hear a word she said because my mind was on something else. Amen. And there's been a few times when she's grabbed me by the face and said, listen to me. Listen to me. You see, I have to be mindful of that. Because if I do it with her, I know sometimes I do it with God. I'm going to say that one again. If I do it with her, I know sometimes I do it with God. So even within myself, I've got to remind myself when Jesus speaks, really take time to listen. When Jesus is speaking, really take time to give attention to what he's saying to me. Don't think about, oh, I got to go pay those bills. Jesus, talk to me later. Sometimes we do that. I'm just being honest. Get into our prayer time and suddenly we got all these things we got to do. Got to call so-and-so. I got to do this. And it's also amazing, too, how when you get into that time with God and how the phone starts ringing. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yes. So who do you suppose that is? Is it God interrupting our prayer time with him? No. No, it's somehow, somewhere, some form of demonic activity causing us to get off course. Oh, I don't believe in the devil. Well, right, don't believe in the devil. You'll find out in the end he's real. Because you get to spend eternity with him. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So if you don't believe he's real, a day's going to come when you find out he is real and you get to hang out with him all you want. And so there's times my wife had to get my attention. And there's times when God has to get our attention. And I'm thankful that he is a faithful father in doing so. In doing so. So verse 8, we are commanded to walk in the light as children of the light. Walk in the light as children of the light. That means you have a responsibility. That means I have a responsibility. It's not God doing it all for us. Oh, we just walk. The red carpet's been set before us. We just walk in the red carpet and all heaven stares at us and applauds us as we enter in and walk with God. Doesn't work that way. There is no red carpet. But there is the blood of the Lord. There is the blood of the Lamb. But in walking out the course, grace in the blood of the Lamb, The carpet is called obedience. The carpet we walk upon is called obedience. That is the carpet we walk upon. Obedience. So we're commanded to walk as children of the light. We are commanded, just that alone is a whole thing by itself. We are commanded to walk as children of the light. That means we cannot entertain, we cannot embrace, we cannot facilitate any form of darkness, any form of un-Christ-like character, activities, habits. But. No buts about it. Jesus gave us all, and he, by the promises of God, we are given all in through Jesus. But he also then requires of us a fully devoted heart. No divided loyalties. I'm married to my wife. I'm committed to my wife. I don't give my time or affection to another woman. But you're a pastor. You got to minister to women. I do minister to women, but I never minister to women without her knowing, without her awareness. I never do anything outside in which the world can accuse me of error. There's times when I've been around certain women, I've told her, when this lady comes around, be next to me. It may be funny, but it's real. Haven't we had those experiences? We have had those experiences. But I couldn't afford to be around another, this kind of woman, because if she wasn't there, this woman would do something. And I didn't have to start anything. So I couldn't afford to entertain those kind of things. But yet there's too many people in the church that entertain those kind of things. Oh, it's not a bad thing. It was, you know, there's humor in it. Yeah. And there's certain things that I like to watch, but over the last, as we've been moving in this direction, God's kind of been saying, a little less of that, no more of that. Like, I like to watch action shows, and over the last few months, it's kind of like less action shows, Ollie, less action shows. Less of that. What's he doing? He's weeding me off of something. He's weaning me off these things so that I'm not enticed by them. And there are just certain standards that we, as ministers of the Lord, that we do, not because it's avoiding sin, but because the appearance of sin. The appearance of sin. We have to be mindful of that as believers as well. Even the appearance of sin will cause others to gossip about you and say things about you. You may be totally innocent in what you did and how you did it, but to them, it was a place where they could find accusation. And so as believers, we have to be mindful of that. So to walk as children, says Philippians 2, in chapter 2, verse 15 and 14, we'll just read it to you, that we're to become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Wow, that's kind of like today, isn't it? And then it says, last part of the verse says, who shine as lights in the world. Who shine as lights in the world. So if we go out and party with our worldly friends and do the same things we did, and then we tell them, you need Jesus, they're not going to be very receptive to our invitation. Because they're going to go, why? You're doing my stuff, and you're getting happy. You can enjoy the way we're doing things here. There's a verse that Peter writes that don't be surprised that you no longer walk or run with them in their life of the words debauchery in some verses, evil lifestyle. He says, don't be surprised when they get mad at you because you no longer run with them. But that's okay. I'd rather have them be mad at me than God mad at me. Let them be mad at me and find favor with God. So we shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. So I want to look at a couple of things right here. To be blameless and harmless. to be blameless and harmless. Some of this that's going on out there right now with these riots and these protests, there's some out there that are doing in the name of Jesus. And then they go out and vandalize and burn up a family business. That is demonic. That is not Jesus. And to put his name to it is blasphemy. Is blasphemy. I understand totally the heart of hurt and anger. But I also know at the same time, Jesus, when he had to deal with that kind of attitude, he didn't respond by going over to Pontius Pilate's house and setting his front living room on fire. He didn't go out and trash the governor's front yard. But interestingly, though, what he did trash, what he did go and turn upside down was the temple. He did do that. Because the Pharisees and the people of his day were living in one world in the world, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. And Jesus came in and turned everything upside down and said, this is not going to be. This ain't going to work. And he said to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And see, he drove out the money changers. He drove out those that were making merchandise off religious services. And he zeroed in on the hypocrisy of the way they were serving God. And so when these kind of things are happening out there, and then there's those that say, well, you know, we're just praying that Jesus is going to help us out in this. He will, but once they cross the line and become destructive, he's not with them at that point. He's not with them at that point. He's no longer engaged in their work toward a work of righteousness, or according to their understanding, a work of righteousness. He's just not. Let me another give you another example. You know, we have a speed limit. Speed limit 75 now on the interstates. You know, you've heard the phrase, you probably heard it others say before, after 75, the angels get off the car. Why? Because, to be honest, we're breaking the law. We're breaking the law at that point. And so the grace and covenant of God is limited at that point. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's times when we sense inwardly the Spirit of God saying to us, slow down, you don't have to be in a rush. Y'all ever felt that? Yeah, we've all felt it at one point or another. Slow down, you don't need to be in a rush. And so he is watching over us. He is endeavoring to keep us in a place of safety and security. But once we go past the limit, there's no guarantees. Because now we're in a place of disobedience. And so he talks about being able to be blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless. Now I want to take a look at the early church in regards to what they did with what they contended with. Did they confront the Roman institution, the Roman government, with weapons, or did they confront the Roman institution through the preaching of the gospel? It was the preaching of the gospel is how they confronted the Roman institution, the Roman government. We've kind of in many ways have forsaken that within our nation and how we preach the gospel. You've heard me say this many times before, but back in the 60s, somewhere along the line, the church believed a lie. Good Christians don't get involved in politics. And the result is, if there's no light, guess who's in charge? Darkness. If there's no light in government, then what's running government? Darkness. We need to be re-engaged in our communities. People aren't coming through our doors. Where are we going to meet them then? Out there. I want to touch on what we talked about last week. Jesus said the end time harvest wasn't going to be in the church. He said the end time harvest wasn't going to be with the church. Those aren't my words, those are his. He said the harvest is going to be out there. He said the harvest is going to come from the highway and the byways. That means we got to get outside the walls of a building, and we must truly engage in the affairs of our neighborhood. Too often we let somebody else do it. Too often we let somebody else be our voice, and too often they speak inaccurately for us. We've got to become our own voice. No one else can speak for you except you yourself. And we become the voice of Jesus to our homes, to our families, to our community as we function and go forth in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's from that agreement and our obedience, that's where his anointing comes and moves and ministers. You're praying for a neighbor, and God says, go minister to him, instead of saying, Lord, send somebody. Lord will be saying, why don't you go? We got to engage ourselves. In the last part of the verse, holding fast the word of life. Verse 14 of Philippians 2, holding fast the word of life. So verse 11, I touched on this, but I want to close with this now. Verse 11, have no fellowship with darkness. Back to Ephesians. Verse 11, have no fellowship with darkness. This involves our lifestyle of patterns and habits. It includes our thinking. It includes the things we entertain through TV, through media. And there's so much stuff through media now, it's just mind-boggling to me. And as you guys know, I finally got one of these new phone thingies here. And I'm doing all kinds of fun stuff, but I haven't a clue as to what I'm doing. I mean, literally, I have no idea what I'm doing sometimes. I'm just putting some buttons, and stuff's coming up and going where. And I tried to communicate with my sister, 2 weeks ago now? I did a texting thing with my sister. And I don't know what I was texting, but she found it was hilarious. And she said to me, where did you get that? How did you do that? I don't know how I did anything. And she had this big laughing face going, I don't know what I was doing. So this world of communication is really new and different for me. But for some of you guys, it's so natural. You know, it's amazing what we see with our children, our grandchildren. They just take to it like, you know, a pig to mud kind of thingy. And so natural. But yet, you know, somewhere, you know, so I've got to renew my mind in this area of communication. Because by the Spirit of God, I've got to get some insight into the way this generation thinks. That's how we engage. So we have to realize our lifestyle of patterns and habits is important. Because it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, abstain from every form of evil. From every form of evil. You know, Phyllis and I, we abstain from certain TV shows that have certain ratings. We just don't watch them. There's sometimes those great commercials that promote these certain shows, and the commercials are great. Oh, that'd be a great show. And then we read the ratings, like, can't watch that one. Can't watch that one. Because we just can't go there. But there's nothing, you know, it was a humorous show, but the humor was filled with such crud, such vulgarity. There's a lot of great humor out there you can enjoy without the vulgar language, without the crude sexual innuendo and humor. Why we do that? Because that's the way we sort of keep our mind purged from darkness. That's one of the ways we keep our mind purged from darkness. We have to be mindful of that. So abstain from every form of evil, says, where to the word abstain means is to restrain, to hold back from. To restrain, to hold back from. Well, you know, they just sit down and about this and that. And so, well, then turn the TV off. Who's controlling you? Did that remote control jump into your hand, slap you in the face and say, turn me on? Or did you reach for it and yourself, of your own desire, push the button on? My remote controls never slapped me in the face and said, turn me on. So I know it's not the remote control's problem. It's mine. Amen. It's mine. Abstain from every form of evil. Hold back from. Do not engage in. So I wrote it for myself in simple language. I like to do that. Don't engage yourself in any form of unchristlike behavior. Don't engage yourself in any form of unchristlike behavior. So if Jesus won't do it, or if Jesus won't go there, neither should we. That's our standard. It's real simple. It's not hard. We just have to make a mental decision to be doers of light. To become doers of light. And then he says to awake, verse 14, that we're to be spiritually alert and sober. So I'm going to close now with what Jesus says about that very thing, about being awake. These are the words of Jesus. Now, what did we start with? At the start there, God said what? This is my beloved son. He said what? Did he say, casually listen? He said, if you want to listen? No. He said, hear him. So we're going to read what Jesus said, and we're going to hear him. This is out of Luke chapter 21, verse 34. So as you go forward in this, just pray to the Lord, Lord, what are some things I should give up that right now in my mind may not be a sin, but it may be a hindrance spiritually. I'm going to say that one again. Go to the Lord and pray to him and say, Lord, what is this I should give up that may not be a sin, but is a hindrance spiritually? What is this something I need to give up or lay down so I can have a clearer line of communication and relationship with you? It's easier for my wife to hear what I'm saying because she reads my lips at the same time. So when she's looking at me, she hears with much more clarity what I'm saying than if I'm to the side saying something, because she's not able to see my lips move at the same time. A clear line of vision. We've got to have it. This is what it says. Everybody say, I'm here. All right, verse 34. But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, the words of Jesus, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed. Does that mean, that tells me those times when I'm walking in discouragement, depression, I somehow, some way have taken my eyes off Jesus. That simple. It says, I'm going to read that again now, then we'll read through it. Take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and heartache and nauseous of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And that, Stanley's speaking about the coming dealing of judgments, is that day will come upon you suddenly as like a trap or a noose. For it will come upon all who live upon the face of the earth. There is no escaping it, but there is a way we can walk through it. Verse 36. Keep awake then and watch at all times. Be discreet and attentive, ready praying at all times that you may have full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape those things, taken together that there will be a place to stand in the presence of the Son of the Man of God. That's called abiding. To use simple language, it means as we're abiding, He will keep us in the midst of what's taking place. He will be our security. He will be our covering. He will be our comfort. He will be our strength. So once again, I made it real simple language for me, and I'll share it with, as I wrote it in my simple language about verse 34. Don't be ensnared or caught up in the pleasures and the problems of this life, because we can also get entangled by the pleasures. Thus, the result, if we get ensnared, we become spiritually dull or even asleep. Spiritually dull or asleep. And so we have to be alert. So Jesus concludes it by saying, pray and be watchful. He concludes it by saying, pray and be watchful. So that's our charge today. Pray and be watchful. Walk as children of the light. You are the key. You are the key to their revival. You are the key to their way out of darkness. You are the key because you carry the light that will bring darkness. That will open their eyes. That will break darkness. That will open their eyes. So I just encourage you in this process. Wake up, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. So that's why I like saying, "Be a bright light, not a dim lit." Amen. So blessings to you guys out there. Be a bright light. Let your love and light shine in such a powerful way so that others around you say, man, I wish I have what you have. That gives you a door to say, let me share with you what helps me. Amen. Blessings to you guys.